to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 478. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my stalwart and hearty co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live at hkoop.org. And remember, during this crisis, we are pre-recorded, folks.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
We get in the car.
We get in the car.
It is Wednesday, August 19th. It's the 375th day of over 100 degree weather here in Austin, Texas. On the show today, we have from Contra Tiempo, Ana Maria Alvarez, and later we'll be talking to Mike Rademakers from the Hill Country Community Theater. Do not touch that knob. Okay, well, do you recognize that song? Of course you don't, because I didn't tell you which song it was, only the show it was going to come from. Yeah, that was Little Red Hat from 110 in the Shade.
And why did you play that, Lisa?
I played that because that voice you heard was Leslie Ann Warren.
We love her. You and I love her.
Well, who doesn't love Leslie Ann Warren?
I wish she were these days.
Pardon me?
I wish she was doing more these days.
I do as well. I actually didn't check. I assume she's still alive.
No, I believe she is still alive. I think you and I checked this not too long ago.
Yeah. So to the reason why Nicole and I talk about her all the time is because that she was in the what I call the second generation of Cinderella, the first being Carol Burnett, Carol Burnett. And the third being Brandy. And then the fourth being Laura Osnes, right?
I guess.
On
so.
Broadway.
Rival on Broadway, so yes.
But I didn't realize that she had done a lot in Broadway. One of them was 110 The Shade, which is what she was doing at age 17 before she got Cinderella, which she did at 18. Isn't that amazing?
She's the exact same age as my mom. So she was born in 46. And I think she made her debut in 63.
Well, yeah, you know what? I'm not looking at any kind of data. So I'm just going to agree with you because you tend to be right about those kind of things.
I don't know.
So it's interesting. She blew her audition. She was on the road with 110 The Shade when she auditioned for Cinderella. And she blew it. And who was it that... Charles Dubin, who directed it, who had directed her also in 110 The Shade, said, you have to see her again. And she came in and she auditioned at Richard Rogers' apartment. And I'm going to read this quote. And this is quoted. This is a quote from an article in Playbill, which is a quote from her. So, quote, Richard Rogers sat me down at the piano bench and sat me down next to him and played and taught me My Funny Valentine. He has a very precise way that he wanted his song sung, and he would sing a chorus and I would sing a chorus. How cool is that?
I was about to say, can I just sit there and sing a chorus and hang out? Like,
I know. No. Anyway, Leslie Ann Warren, I mean, she's one of those people. I think she has this classic beauty and classic way about her, very similar to Audrey Hepburn, if you ask me.
Yes, yes, I can see that.
Yeah. So I actually skipped ahead. I wanted to start with the sad news first, which was the death of Howell Binkley. Did you see that? I'm ashamed to know that I did not know his name, but he's done a lot.
Oh, yeah. I always want to say Brinkley because I just see the name and my mind goes to that and I have to stop myself and say, Binkley.
It's Binkley. And as a matter of fact, I had written down Howard Binkley, but it's Howell, Binkley, and he got his start in your favorite show, Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
I was about to say, it's Kiss of the Spider-Woman that we've been talking about.
He was nominated for a Tony, and he won an Olivier Award. But listen to this. Listen to these. These are just the awards he won. He did
we
some.
We should tell people he's a lighting designer.
Yes, thank you. Lighting designer, and best known currently, and you who are listening to this has probably seen his work because he designed a little show called Hamilton.
He was brilliant in Hamilton. I love the King George and the similar red and the blue and the moments. I don't know. I really love it. I just, he's special. He was special.
Yeah. Well, he certainly did a lot of really good work. And the lighting design on Hamilton was exactly as I think lighting should be. It served the piece. It was not the star of the show. It really did a great job serving the piece. So here are some of his other awards. He was nominated for a Drama Desk for Parade. Which I did not know he did. Also nominated for the Full Monty.
A lot of Terrence McNally's, man.
No, he likes Terrence McNally. He won a Drama Desk Award for Love Music, which I wasn't aware of. He won the Best Award, the Tony, for Jersey Boys. He did In Heights, the current to the 2009 version of West Side Story, How to Succeed in 2011. Won the Lucille Lord Award. Was nominated for a Drama Desk, won the Hughes Design Award, and won the Tony Award for Hamilton. He also won the Olivier for Hamilton. He also did Come From Away, which I thought that lighting was amazing.
I was about to say, when I realized he did Come From Away, it totally made sense to me when I thought about, and it was, yes.
That lighting was amazing. I mean, that's another one that served the piece, and yet he really shined in that. And finally, his last one was Ain't Too Proud. So he's, pardon me?
I didn't realize he did that one.
He did. He was, he died of lung cancer. It doesn't say how old he was.
He was young. He was, I want to say 67.
I'm sure it's in here somewhere. Oh, 64. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very young. Very, yeah. Very young.
I was, 'cause he looked young and then I saw his age and I went, whoa. Yeah.
All right. Of course, we're not going to have time to get to all the things that I want to talk about. It's killing me. But we do have to talk about very quickly, Texas Performing Arts, along with I think 30 or 40 other major theaters around the country got together, and did a live stream concert of Christopher Jackson. And they never really said where he was. He was in some theater in New York downstairs, and it was very hot. That's all I know. I didn't realize that his wife, and I forgot her name, played Nina. He met her playing Nina in the Heights.
I knew he met his wife in the Heights, but I didn't.
And they played opposite each other. And he met her when they were doing, and I forgot the name of, I should know this as an industry professional, where they, a chemistry test. So they had all these women that were auditioning for Nina to come in and read with him to see what the kind of chemistry they had. And evidently sparks flew with them. Anyway, it was a wonderful piece, a wonderful show.
There's a lot of Broadway actors that meet their wives playing opposite of them. That's really kind of endearing.
And husbands.
And I was just about to say, and
both
husbands,
of them
actually.
Yeah. So the big news for the week, I think, was the fact, and I have actually loved this. I mean, there's not a lot of love for this show coming up. It was in previews on Broadway, and it is Diana, the musical.
I know where you're going. This I find fascinating.
Well, I think this is really great. We should tell folks what it is. Netflix, they are filming this production in an empty theater for Netflix to be aired before it opens on Broadway in May of 2021.
So unprecedented.
It's totally unprecedented. It's never been done. And, you know, and I think in a large part, we keep going back to Hamilton, but I think that, and this is things that I think you and I knew, that the playing of Hamilton does not cannibalize their sales. And so with that in mind, they are going to have Diana, which hopefully will help their sales, because they, word on the street wasn't great about the musical.
Well, it was interesting. I don't know how much they've changed since California. There was a lot of hit or miss when it was playing out. Was it at La Jolla when it was in
Yes,
California?
It was at La Jolla.
So I think it had some mixed reviews. The woman playing Diana is uncannily looks like her. I don't know if they're still using the same one in Broadway. I don't know. I find the whole thing fascinating.
Yeah, me too. It was capitalized at almost $18 million.
That's a lot.
I know. Equity has approved this.
You must have to pay for all the royal jewels.
Equity has approved this. They, along with recurring testing, they had to change the HVAC in the theater at the Long Acre Theater, which is where it was playing, to add more circulation into the dressing rooms, which I found interesting.
You know what? That makes sense, though. All those old theaters, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I know I don't have Netflix. I was going to let you know I may have to come over and socially distance at your house.
You may. How do you not have? Well, that's a talk for another thing. I found this interesting. I'm sorry.
That I can't do another streaming service and sit on my butt and watch more TV.
There's another. This is a very interesting thing from a group called the Broadway Teaching Group. It's a symposium on how to teach high school theater remotely. I think this is amazing. It's going to cover producing, teaching, and directing theater online, and it's going to have industry professionals. 3 days. You can find a link about this on offstageonair.com. But here's another thing I found interesting. There's a gentleman in New York named Peter Avery. He is the New York City Department of Education Director of Theater. So they have a citywide Director of Theater. I think we should have that.
I totally agree with you.
And I think you should be that person.
I would be that person.
Okay, you're hired.
Arts education.
You are hired. Okay, we're going to talk about a couple more things, which may or may not make the show, because we're already probably way over time. Did you see this thing with Silver Foxes with George Takei and others?
Yes, I did.
So this is a company called...
Oh my.
Which we made him say when he was a guest on our show.
You know, it still excites me.
So this is, it's called Silver Foxes. It's about people of a certain age, LGBTQ people. I love the production company. It's called Sing Out Louise Production Company.
Oh, that's great.
This will be a streamed reading. I'm not going to talk a lot about it because we don't have time. Tonight, the 19th at 6 p.m., and you can see it if you RSVP to the email address that you can get by going to offstageonair.com. It is directed by a friend of the show, Michael Urie.
Yes, I was about to say, you're going to mention the director?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
So the final thing I want to talk about, do you watch The Crown?
No, because I don't have Netflix.
Oh my gosh. It all comes back to that. But The Crown is really good. I came to it late. I watched it. It is the story of Queen Elizabeth. And
I'm obsessed with all that stuff. This was my plan to watch on the plane, but you know.
Okay. They've had in seasons 1 and 2, the Queen and the King or Prince Philip were played by one set of actors. I can't remember their names. And then another one. So they signed on for season 6, which they hadn't planned on doing. And Jonathan Pryce was named to play King George, which I thought was pretty cool.
I was about to say King George. Interesting.
Not King George. King George, I went to Hamilton. It's Prince Philip.
No, but George was the father of Philip.
Yes, so I know. But no, Prince Philip. Sorry, that was my fault. The queen is going to be Imelda Staunton, who...
So this will be the fourth queen, isn't it? Because haven't they already gone through 3 queens so far?
No, this is the third. Third and final. I can tell you the ones. So...
Olivia Cole, right?
So the first one was... Oh my gosh, where'd it go? It's in here. Matt Smith was the original Philip. Tobias Mendez was the second Philip. And now Jonathan Pryce. Tobias Mendez was in Game of Thrones, as was Jonathan Pryce. And when I read that, I went, was Jonathan Pryce in Game of Thrones? And then I went, of course he was. He had a huge role in Game of Thrones.
He was.
Anyway, I would love to talk about this all day, but we can't. I'm really looking forward to it. And I know I should tell folks that Imelda Staunton is not a household name here in the United States, but she's huge in Great Britain. I believe she won the Olivier for this production of Gypsy, which they promised me was on Broadway HD, but it isn't.
What?
It's not there. It's not anywhere in any streaming service right now because I really wanted to see it.
Maybe the universe is hearing you and it'll be one of the offerings. They add new stuff each week.
So. Maybe so. Let's take a little break. Let's listen to Jonathan Pryce singing his Tony Award winning role in Miss Saigon. The heat is on in Saigon. I'm just all about the heat, aren't I?
Oh, Gypsy's in that song.
Here it is.
The heat is on in Saigon.
Well, we, Nicole and I, a few days ago, actually had a great conversation with Ana Maria Alvarez of Contratiempo, that is doing a project, through Texas Performing Arts. Yet again, we've been doing a lot with Texas Performing Arts, a lot more than we have been, which I think is wonderful. But this is an exercise, dance exercise thing for the family, which I think is pretty cool.
It was so like rainbows and unicorns through the interview.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to the interview, shall we?
Yes.
Nicole.
Yes.
We've been having some problems with the Zoom machine. It's been making lots of weird noises.
Did you get it fixed?
I don't think so, but we're just going to deal with it. Is that okay?
That sounds fine to me. As long as it gets us from point A to point B and we find great people, we're good.
Well, we will see. Let's open the door and see who's here. Oh my God, it is Ana Maria Alvarez. Ana Maria, hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Thank you for having me.
You are in Los Angeles, California, is that correct?
I am. I'm in LA, California, sunny LA.
I've heard of that. And you have a dance company called Contratiempo?
Yes.
Which I have to say, I looked at the website, it's amazing. I especially love the video that's on your homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really wonderful and heartfelt. And I would encourage my listeners to maybe go check that out. What is your web address?
I'm not going to do the W's. Contra-tiempo.org. So contra-tiempo.org.
.org. I think probably if you just Googled Contratiempo, you'd find it
exactly.
Just as I did. But you are doing a project along with Texas Performing Arts here in Austin, Texas, on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing our series. It's been a series that we started during quarantine that we do every single Wednesday morning. But we're doing a special one on Saturday, the 22nd. Super excited to connect to a community that we actually have never toured or visited before.
What the hell is that all about?
I know, yeah. Exactly. Well, so we've been to Midland, Texas, but we've never been to Austin. And so I'm really excited about presenting Dancing Familias as part of their programming, because hopefully we'll get some interest and connection with the company. And maybe when all of this is over, we'll get to come out and share our work with you all.
Tell us about Dancing Familias.
Yeah, so it's an all ages, all abilities, everybody is welcome dance class that's really about practicing radical joy, practicing joy as if it's a muscle. We deeply believe, especially during these uncertain times, that practicing joy as it were really truly it's a lifeline, right now.
Yeah.
Being able to be in community and move our bodies and sweat and remember that we are all connected, even if we're physically distancing apart from one another, that there's this deep human connection with our bodies, with our music, with our histories, our culture. And so I'm super excited to present this as part of this series. If you look on our website, we obviously are a professional dance company. There are a lot of fierce dancers involved in the work that we do, but you do not need to know how to dance to participate in this class. It really is all levels are welcome.
So someone like me, who when I lived in New York, I as a performer, I was an actor who sings and moves well.
Yes.
which means I'm an actor who can kind of carry a tune but can't move at all. Could I do it?
Absolutely. Everyone is welcome. And I will say, though, we do ask people to open up their cameras, and not because you're being judged, but just so that that human connection is there and that we can really be with one another. The kids always have a much easier time with that. The adults are a lot more want to hide out behind Zoom. But
So this is obviously done on Zoom. I mean, typically when we think of dance classes, we think of people in a room. So how's this going to work? When I log into Zoom, what's going to happen?
So what happens is we first, you're going to see all of the people that are participating. And I always ask everyone to start off with sharing a little bit of what they're grateful for in the chat. So people will share, you know, all of the incredible things that people are feeling gratitude towards and for, which is really a nice way for us to jump off. And then we do a lot of call and response back and forth, where I will share movement and people, and, you know, I pull myself back so you can see my full body. And it's really follow the leader, Simon Says kind of thing in the first half of the class. And then we move into improvisational games and playing with one another and using some of the material that I teach to inform kind of how you wind up improvising and connecting with one another. So then it's really about making it up as it goes along. And, you know, there's space for everyone. People bring all kinds of things into the mix. And then we always end coming back into our screens with one another, sharing a little bit about what we have a hope or a dream for each other, for ourselves, for the world. And those are always incredibly inspiring, because there are young people that join us, and our kids always remind us of like what actually is important. It's really,
they do, don't they?
Like, so grounding. So
will I be able to show off my triple pirouettes in this?
Absolutely. There will be an opportunity for
that. Okay, good. So obviously I'm going to bring my kids to this, right?
Yes.
And they're going to have fun. I'm going to have fun. And I'm assuming I don't have to bring kids if I don't want to.
You don't have to bring kids. So I do, there are parts that I do choreograph hugs, or, you know, choreograph things where there are moments of connection. If you are with someone, it doesn't have to be a kid, but it could also be just a partner. But also, a lot of times, ideally, I actually teach it by myself, because if I have my kids there, it's impossible to do anything.
Yes.
But I model what you do if you're by yourself. But
I was just about to say, can I hug myself? Because
for me, who else would do it?
Exactly. You, yourself, and I. So I will say that I also have some friends during our series that we do every week. I have friends who don't have kids who show up because they say I make them sweat and they have a good time, and it's an enjoyable time together. So, yeah.
How long of a program is it?
I think we're going to be doing it for 50 minutes. About an hour.
Oh, I should tell also my radio listeners that we're on Zoom, and just a little while ago when Anna Maria, is it Anna Maria? Yes, I did. I got it right. Because I'm not too smart. When she said choreography, she used air quotes. So don't be afraid of that word. So you do this every week, but this is a special performance for Texas Performing Arts, or is this part of your normal weekly thing that Texas Performing Arts will join in?
This is really not, and I don't even want to use the word performance, because it really isn't a performance. It really is a participatory experience. So people are going to be, I mean, you know, you'll see me dance, but it's very much, you're going to be participating the entire time. And we do this every single week in Los Angeles, but people from all over the country, you know, tune in. But this is a special one that we're linking with. You know, we've actually been able to do that. We've done this three other times with three other organizations, theaters across the country, where we've linked this class to their programming. And it's really great, because it allows us to reach people that we would never have reached otherwise. And then what we've been finding is some people show up to our weekly classes. They like it so much they want to come back for more. So
That is great. I know that we had Bob Bercy on last week, who's the executive director of Texas Performing Arts. And he has, he's sort of committed himself to reaching out to the rest of the community here in Austin. So this is all part of that. And I know that I'm pretty excited about it. Where can folks, I'll tell folks where they can get information. I know that they can get information at the Texas Performing Arts website, which I'm assuming is texasperformingarts.org, which it is. Yeah. They could probably also get information on your website. What is that website again?
Contra-tiempo.org.
Contra-tiempo.org. Mm-hmm. And the swirling, rotating R's is just a regular R. on the computer.
And our Instagram and Facebook pages will also be doing it on, you know, showing on social media, which is basically contra_tiempo is our Instagram handle.
Right. Well, Ana Maria, thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air. I look forward to having you here in Austin someday. You can either come and just be on our radio show or come to my theater and perform on our stage.
Love it.
I'm sure that you would love to perform on concrete, which most dancers do.
We can teach.
Favorite.
I don't know about performing. We need those front floors.
Thanks again. I look forward to dancing
thank
with you,
you so
on the
22nd.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
Have a great day. Bye bye.
That was a great interview.
Yes, it was.
And of course, the music we just heard was from Once on This Island, We Dance. We dance. So we're running so short on time, we got to go straight to break.
All right,
here we go. We'll be back. And we're back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and
Nicole.
And we are at koop.org, and we also podcast this on offstageonair.com. We're recording this on Monday, and last night, so last Sunday, was Cyberstock Austin. Did you happen to see it?
No, I did not. Did you?
Yes, I did. Cyberstock. I'm sorry, what?
You're online seeing everything. I am impressed.
Well, I try to see things, especially things that occur locally. Cyberstock Austin, if you remember, we had them on the show, is what Summerstock Austin is this year. And Summerstock Austin did everything virtually, starting with an original music piece and video by Vincent Hooper and, what's his name? Also in Hamilton from Austin. Yikes! I can't believe I forgot his name. Anyway, him. They wrote both the opening and closing, and then there were Then there were seven videos that were done by the students, and some of them were good, some of them were great. They were all entertaining. Some very clever ones. I believe that will be available on the Summerstock Austin YouTube page. There will be a link on our show notes to see it. But I'm so sorry you missed it, and you might want to check it out.
Yeah, I love everything that Ginger's doing.
Yeah, Ginger is a powerhouse, and we just love having her on here.
I'm so lucky to have her. Oof.
I was also honored to be part of a group of people that celebrated Lisa B. Thompson. And the publication of her compilation book of Monroe, Underground, and come on, Lisa, you can do the and Momologues, that all had their premiere here in Austin, Texas. And Monroe was premiered at Austin Playhouse, the Momologues and Underground were at Vortex. And so she was there, and Laura Toner Haddock of Austin Playhouse assembled a great group of people, of which I was honored to be invited to sing her praises, and we drank martinis and talked about Lisa B. Thompson. But you can find that book on all the normal places. So just
you sent me a picture of you while you were enjoying it.
Hmm?
You sent me a picture of you of online enjoying it. I was online something, so I couldn't go on. I was so bummed out.
Yeah, it was really, really wonderful. So that's that. I also want to just talk about very quickly, we had them on the show, Amendment. Taji Senior and Salvage Vanguard is going to have a online streaming from Ground Floor Theater of the show, and then they go and do a drive-in theater out at Roggy Ranch. You can get more information about that at salvagevanguard.org. Also, a reminder on the 22nd, which is coming up, it's this weekend, I think Saturday, is a big Get Out the Vote campaign at Ground Floor Theater, at Hyde Park Theater, at the Vortex. Please come by. I will personally, if you are not registered to vote, I will register you. I am a deputy registrar with the County of Travis. And what that means for those of you is that you will have to salute me when you see me. But I will do my best to help you get registered to vote. I know all the stuff.
I told my brother you became a deputy registrar and he got very excited.
We were good. Well, I will tell Casey I will register him to vote.
We are registered, but we'll find it.
Of course you are. But sometimes it slips through the cracks and we don't get around to doing it. So please feel free to come by Ground Floor Theater on the 22nd and register. So before we get to our guest at Hill Country Community Theater, I want to just talk about some of the local theaters, specifically theaters that are not within the city of Austin that are doing shows. His is one, and we're going to talk to him at length about it. But also, Fredericksburg Theater has, they've been open for a while now, and they are doing a performance. They're working with Texas Comedies. Our friend, how'd I just lose his name? What's his name? We'll come up with it. We're just awful with
I feel like people are check the names out on Monday. They're not available.
Anyway, I only remember Josh Meindertzma is part of that, but I can see his face. Anyway, they're doing two shows in September, and then they're doing Smokey Joe's Cafe starting August 31st. They have a long document. I'm showing it to the screen right now and playing it. Of their safety precautions at Fredericksburg Theater. So I'm really ambivalent. I don't know how I feel about these shows, these theaters opening up. I did a crazy thing the past couple of days. I went to a restaurant, which I have not done since this COVID started, and I will not do again because it's crazy. You come in, I didn't, but everybody else took off their masks, and everybody was really close. The servers were close. It doesn't make sense. The virus doesn't care whether you're eating or not.
I'm going to say this right now. It's not like that at every restaurant. So,
well, I won't. I felt very uncomfortable. I won't go back till a vaccine comes. I'm just going to say I think it's weird. But anyway, so some theaters are opening up, and part of what they say is they're in their areas of Texas. It's rural and the incidence of COVID-19 are very low, and they are selling out. So they're doing quite well. So how do you feel about it, Nicole?
I mean, I don't know if I'd personally go to the theater yet, but there aren't a lot of things that I really want to do yet. I want to go see my family. I want to be able to see my family, and I haven't been able to see my family. So once I get to that, then I'll worry about getting to the theater.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a little break right now. We'll hear a little bit from Smokey Joe's Cafe, and it's called Stay a While, and then we'll go to our guest. Come in. We are back. Last week again, Nicole and I had the pleasure, very, very nice man, Mike Rademakers of the Hill Country Community Theater. And I have to say, both the Hill Country Community Theater and Fredericksburg Theater, these are really nice theaters. I think I'm going to go and visit some of these theaters and do a remote tour with my and play them on the show. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great idea. I'll go with you.
Okay, cool. So let's just jump right in and hear this interview with Mike Rademakers. Nicole, are you ready to step out of the Zoom door?
I am. Who's outside All right. that door, Lisa?
Let's open the door and find out, shall we?
Yes.
Knock, knock.
Oh, look who it is. It's Mike Rademakers of the Hill Country Community Theater. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing?
Any better, and I would be twins. We're so happy to have you on this show, and this is the first time the Hill Country Community Theater has been on the show. So I don't know why, but
that's right.
Welcome.
We've been around for 35 years, and we're the best kept secret in the Highland Lakes.
Yep, so we need to make sure that our Austin audience knows that you exist because you're very close by.
Yes. We actually have a lot of people that do come in from Austin.
Yeah, I would assume you would. Mm-hmm. And you've been with the organization since, what, 2014? Did I read that correctly?
Correct. That's correct.
And you are an L.A. person.
Not originally, but I lived there for 28 years, yeah. I was a I was a professional actor in film and television and stage. And then I ended up creating my own theater venue, which is still there after 20 years.
That's pretty amazing.
I ran it for 14 and then I sold it, and it's still in existence, although it's in part of the LA called the NoHo Arts District, which has like about 25 theaters in a square mile.
Awesome. What's the name of the theater?
It's called the Secret Rose Theater.
The Secret Rose. That was my sorority name in college.
Secret Rose? Very good.
Yes.
What drew you from LA into the Hill Country Theater, like from there, from point A to point B?
How did I get from there to here?
Yeah.
I drove my car.
Now that's my joke. That is not fair. You stole that from me.
Actually, like I said, I ran the theater I started in LA was something that I began with my now ex-wife. And when she left the picture after about 10 years, I ran it for another four, but my heart wasn't really in it. And LA is really a city for younger people, I think. And it was time to start fresh. And a friend of mine had moved to Texas, and they said, "You want to be close to the arts? Texas has got a great is great in supporting the arts." And I ended up in Dallas, Fort Worth for a while, but nobody up there was hiring. So I cast my net around the country and found this theater down here, and it was a good match. And I've been here for 6 years and very happy running.
Awesome. It's quite beautiful over there. You're in the Marble Falls area. Is that correct?
Yes, we're between Marble Falls and Horseshoe Bay in a little town called Cottonwood. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful out here. I love being in this rural area. It's very pretty, especially when the Blue Bonnets come up.
I was like, you have the Blue Bonnet Cafe out there too. So that's
Blue
not
Bonnet Cafe is here. Yes.
There you go. Nicole, you surprise me all the time. How you would know that is beyond.
Oh,
me.
My friend's got a house there on Lake LBJ right by Blue Bonnet.
Yep.
I've had a lot of good times there.
Mm-hmm. If you're going there from Marble Falls, you'll pass right by our theater.
Well, awesome. Well, I can't wait to get over to see it. And I believe that the venue you have used to be a boat factory.
Used to be a boat dealership. Factory. Yeah. And they converted it into a theater. Every once in a while, I look around and go, this boat dealership. But
that's so cool.
But that's great. As I was reading the history on your website, which I should tell folks is thehcct.org, it said that you've renovated. You have a kitchen in there. Do you serve food with your shows?
We used to.
but now we're open.
We used to have opening night galas, and we used to have like we still do occasionally have fundraisers where it's catered and people come and they get food and a special show. And of course now all bets are on hold.
All bets are off. And that's actually a really wonderful segue. I believe that you guys may be the very first theater in the area to open up to an audience in your space. You're opening on August 20th, the Savannah Sipping Society. So before we get into...
I'd love to grab credit for that, but actually Steve Riley down at Fredericksburg Theater Company has beat us to that.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
We weren't sure if they open or not, Lisa. I think we were trying to remember.
I'll just say this, among the first. So before we talk about what precautions you're taking and what led the decision to go ahead and open up, tell us about the Savannah Sipping Society.
Oh, the Savannah Sipping Society is written by Jones Hope Wooten, who used to write for the Golden Girls. So it's that kind of humor, and those playwrights have been very, very popular with our audiences. So we do at least one of their shows every year. And this particular one is about four middle-aged and up women who...
Women of a certain age.
Women, thank you for saying that. I'll say that again. Women of a certain age.
There you go. No charge for that one.
they live in Savannah and they meet up. And they find a new lease on life while doing a little sipping.
Awesome. I'm just gonna guess by what you've said and your description that it's a rip roaring comedy. Am I correct?
You are absolutely correct.
Awesome. And now, did you direct this piece?
I did not. Our director is her name is Wendy Farrell. She's done a lot of directing for us here, and in particular with the Jones Hope Wooten shows, she's directed quite a few of them.
Wonderful. And who's in the cast?
The cast? Well, you're going to ask me that. I have to look up their names. It's, yeah. You would think. Vicky Cody, Amy Masuda, Donna Petty, and Tammy Sanders are in the cast.
Wonderful. So now we are in the middle, obviously, in the middle of this coronavirus, and many theaters are not opening. None of the ones in Austin are really planning on opening until after the first of the year. So tell us what precautions you are taking to make your audiences safe.
Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, we are in a rural area, so the cases in that area, in our area, have not been quite as high as Austin. But it was Governor Abbott's task force to reopen Texas have set some guidelines for performing arts spaces, and that being that we could open at 50%. Now, with the social distancing, it's not quite 50%. We have a 150 seat theater, and the only way we could do it was with 60 seats. So we're following all the governor task force rules and regulations on what we have to do. We also, the Event Safety Alliance put out a 30-page report on what theaters need to do to reopen. So we're following, not only are we following all of that, but we also did a campaign to make all of our restrooms touch-free. So the flush valves you don't have to touch, and the sinks you don't have to touch, and the soap dispensers you don't have to touch. And we also bought an electrostatic disinfecting fogger. So not only are we wiping everything down with sanitizer, but we're also using the fogger after every show to blow out the entire theater. So our constituents' safety is our number one priority. And we want to make sure that people feel safe when they come back to the theater.
Right. And your website is very clear. There's lots of what happens when I get there, how do I leave, et cetera. I know that you're asking the audience to stay, and we're leaving as we did in elementary school, by row.
By row, yeah.
Exactly. Yes. So actually, a lot of churches are doing that now as well, I understand, where you start from some of the back row and say, okay, everybody in the back row can get up and leave. And then when they go, you know, the next row can go. And that way there's no crowding in the doorways.
Well, that's wonderful. And how has the response been so far? Are you expecting what will now substitute as a full house on the 20th?
We are actually, and we had a little bit of a trial run because we just closed our children's camp, and they had their show of Disney's The Little Mermaid. So it was kind of a trial run with the new way we're doing tickets and how we're seating people and things like that. And everybody was great. Nobody complained about wearing masks. Everybody followed the procedures in terms of coming in. We're scanning our tickets now. We're having assigned seating, which we never used to have. It used to always be general seating. And it was very easy. Everybody was understanding and cooperative. So we appreciate that because we've been working on it.
So you're asking your audience members to wear masks inside the theater?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay. And how did rehearsals go? You know, we have a lot of discussions here amongst the theater community about
how the rehearsal process.
Right. Uh-huh. Theaters have go ahead.
Oh, well, okay. So we were actually in rehearsals. This show was supposed to open, when was it? In April. And we were in rehearsals in March when, of course, everything closed down. And the set was built most of the way by that point. So I knew, you know, it made sense that when we were going to reopen again, which everybody is going to eventually, and, you know, so they, the cast, rehearsed via Zoom. And as the restrictions eased and things like that happened, we were able to bring them back into the theater. There's only four in the cast. So we had four plus the director plus the stage manager and assistant stage manager. So that's at 4, 5, 6, 7 people in the theater, including myself. So everybody, there wasn't a group or anything like that. Yeah.
So it can be difficult. I know that theater is an intimate situation, and oftentimes the actors on stage, I would assume, break social distancing rules because it's part of the context of the show. Did y'all do anything special to deal with that, or did you change the blocking to try to keep people further away?
We did not. As a matter of fact, in the governor's latest executive order, he basically says he doesn't expect that. So if for anybody who's making a speech from the stage, which is what actors do, they're not required to wear masks. And they're far enough away from the audience that's really not an issue. But all our staff, our working staff who are going to be working during the show are going to also have masks and gloves, and we're going to take everybody's temperature as they come in.
Wonderful. Where would folks go to get more information about the show?
Well, we invite everybody to take a look at our website, as you mentioned, and that's probably the best place to find things.
Give folks that address, please. Easy for you to say.
We're going to edit this later, right? www.thehcct.org.
Yeah, I should tell you that if you hcct.org is for sale, because that's where I went first.
Oh, is it? Great. Well, maybe I should buy that back.
That was crazy. Oh,
I'm sure it's $1 million.
I'm sure it is.
And the show opens on the 20th. How long does it play?
It's going to run through the 27th, so we've added extra shows. We're doing 20 shows this time, but we're not having any shows on Labor Day weekend.
Wonderful. Mike Rademakers, thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
I hope this is not your last appearance. I'd love to get you in the studio in person once we are able to do that.
Sure. Well, I'll put you on our email list so you can keep up to date on everything we've got going on.
Please do.
I will.
Well, we wish Mike the best of luck in his show, although it sounds like they're doing everything kind of right.
Yeah, he really, I mean, he seemed like he researched and did what he needed to get where he's at. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to go see that show, but we've done it. We finished our show.
Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun. Like us on the Facebooks. Give us a review. So far, we've gotten a goose eggs review. So
no one has reviewed us.
Buck the system and review us on Facebook.
You have nothing better to do.
Did I say Facebook? I meant iTunes. You can review us on Facebook too. I think we've gotten some stuff on Facebook. But we podcast this puppy, and you can get it by going to our website, right?
Yes, offstageonair.com. If you just enter your email in the little box on the right, voila, Lisa and I appear each week. You don't have to go a-looking.
Great. And from as we walk away from our show this week, from that big hit in 1958, Happy Hunting, we're going to listen to the Mutual Admiration Society. Bye, folks.
Mutual Admiration Society. My baby and me, we belong to a mutual.